Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Today, we are happy to have Helene Reiner, a relationship coach. She was a middle school science teacher in California, and she realized that there were some opportunities for learning about social emotional development, finding ways to problem solve by looking at our emotions. We can talk to each other. And that led her to becoming a coach. She went from a middle school science teacher to a coach. Helene, please tell us more about your story and what brings you here today.
Hi. When I really loved teaching, but when I moved, I 20 years in the classroom and I taught science, but I always felt like I wanted some training that I didn't see it available. And it was like, how do I help kids to feel emotionally safe enough so that they can talk about what their challenges are? And I didn't see it modeled for me. No administrator was really teaching me how to do that. So it was just something really in the back of my mind. Mostly I was enjoying teaching science, doing lots of hands-on creative activities, really passionate about the environment and health. But when I moved to Colorado, it turns out my brother is a really successful executive coach. And it was mid-year, we were COVID, we were wearing masks, and it was really hard to start a job wearing a mask. That seems so uncomfortable, you know? So my brother was the one that suggested coaching to me. And immediately I just kind of like lit up. I realized if I went down that road and started learning, I was going to learn something that I always wanted to know how to do. So I did that. And I love being a student. So I initially started with health coaching, which then I studied life coaching, because though I'm super passionate about what we eat and thinking, feel this idea of food as medicine, I also realize that a lot of the times when we eat the wrong food, it's not because we don't know, it's because of the things going on in our mind, our emotions, you know, our relationships. So that got me there into life coaching. And then one day we had a visitor, like a guest speaker. Her name is Annie Lala, and she's a relationship coach. And she said something I thought was so interesting. She said in relationships, especially, you know, partnerships, that we either get an emotional discharge or a behavior change, but we never get both. Meaning like when you're upset about something, you know, you emotional discharge is like you just yell or whatever, you know, you're sarcastic, you're a little bit nasty. But she said, you know, if you do that, you can do that, but you're not going to get them to change their behavior. And if they do, it's only going to be in the short run. And I had never heard anybody say it quite like that. And, you know, I grew up from, both my parents are from New York, and we're yellers, like literally. And I mean, the amount that I yell is so much less than my parents. Like, even though my husband would be like, stop yelling, I'm like, I'm not yelling, you know. But when she said that, I just heard it in a different, deeper way. And it made so much sense to me. And she was right. I don't get a behavior change. All I do is I discharge my emotions. So basically, I started like following her on social media, watching everything she did. And then lo and behold, she offered a class like how to be a relationship coach. And I was like, I need to study with Annie. So I did that. And, you know, I got really practical things to bring into my relationship. And I saw how it worked, like just adding more awareness around things, more tools, and getting a perspective outside of myself. Like all of that really helped, because the way we communicate is often habitual. And when we're having a conflict, we often do more of the thing that doesn't work. We just like really lock down into it. So it was so interesting getting a perspective outside myself. And the other thing is, I started having conversations with my husband that were different, where we were really sort of exploring these growth opportunities together. And that really helped our relationship. So that's how I got here.
Thank you for sharing all of that. It sounds like with relationships, they're, as we know, very complex with how we listen to one another and how we communicate with one another. So maybe tell us a little bit more about what makes a relationship coach effective, and why that is.
Well, I think it goes back to what I said. I think because we have these habits, and when we're having a challenge, it's a unfortunate thing about humans. We can be very aware of how someone else hurt us, you know? But we're far less aware of how we're affecting somebody else. And sometimes we can have the best intentions and not want to hurt someone, but we are in reaction mode. And then so what happens in an argument is someone sends us some unpleasant energy and we deflect it and we add a little bit more unpleasantness to it. And then the other person is really just dealing with the energy and you're not even talking about the thing which is on the table. You know, maybe it's like, who's going to feed the cats? You know, like that's not what the conversation's about. It's about my energy, your energy, and both the energies. And these are just patterns. So to have someone show you so simply, like, this is your pattern, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, and actually, your pattern is very similar to almost most humans. You know, we have this pursuer withdrawal dynamic in relationships. Often one person is pursuing, they want to have a resolution, and the other person just backs down because it's just too much energy. And so many couples fall into this. So to show that to someone really clearly, and then to show them there is a way to communicate where you can get your needs met, where you can really talk about the cats, and you can just be a little bit more conscious. It's actually not that much work. And to test it out and to see how much better it works. Because if someone sees that it's so much better when they actually are spending more time regulating their emotions, they're more likely to want to try to do that the next time. So I think that the short answer is it's just that we get stuck in our habits and we need someone to show us this another way.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned habits. And I think that's so important to know that not just in relationships, but in life in general, we do have a tendency to fall back on our habits. And those can be good habits, like, brushing your teeth or going for a walk every day or those things that are really good for our well-being. But then there are the habits that really show up, especially when we're under stress and when we have conflict. When we're in conflict, I think that's when our not so good habits show up. So I love that you mentioned habits. And I love that you also mentioned the importance of the coach showing their clients, these are your patterns. And so when you're aware of your patterns, then you can actually work with them. And oftentimes, people might see their patterns as just part of their personality, something that is innate, something they cannot change. So how do you as a coach approach that? Like when your client might say, oh, well, that's just who I am.
So anxiety is a really interesting one because a lot of people are suffering with it today, and people say, I'm just anxious, you know, that's just my personality. So I've been working with this with a young lady for a while, and sometimes it's just really highlighting the day that went by. Hey, you weren't anxious today. What were you doing? What were you thinking? How were you talking to yourself? Who were you surrounded by? And then the day when you're really anxious again, like what are you thinking? You know, what are you doing? And realizing the things that she actually has control over. You know, that it's not just I'm an anxious person. You know, like it's a habit. It's a habit, but it's not just a habit you can turn on and off. A big part of that journey was empowerment. Like, oh, first of all, if I'm talking to myself kindly, like one thing that gets me very anxious is how I talk to myself when I'm super critical. I'm like in fight or flight just because of the way I'm talking to myself. And actually, when I'm doing work I really enjoy, when I'm doing work I love, I'm less anxious. You know, so how can we create more of that work in your life? So a lot of the times it's just highlighting what's going on because our habits are so familiar. Often we don't even realize, like, I have to say, like, one of the more challenging relationships in my life is with my mom. If mom listens to this, we're working on it, right? Like, but she can trigger me. And before I really started as a relationship coach, I'd be like, she just triggers me. But now I'm kind of like slowing down the moment and say, what did she do that triggered me? And what did I do to her that triggered her? So it's like getting really pixelated on what's going on. And then you realize where you have choice.
Oh my gosh, there's so much here in what you said from how we talk to ourselves and our anxiousness, or even just in general, what we say to ourselves and how that might subconsciously or overtly come out on other people, right? Like, I think that's also another piece there. And then the complexity of relationships, and that this is not just romantic relationships, right? You mentioned your relationship with your mom and how hard that can be sometimes with that intergenerational relationship and perspective. And so the other piece here too is the habit building. See, there are three kind of key concepts that I felt like I really took away as you were talking. And I'm curious a little bit more about I guess how do couples, and I guess it doesn't have to be romantic couples, how do people in relationships build habits together? How do they have the vulnerable conversation to say, I'm the problem, you're the problem, let's fix this together?
So this is something that I really been doing with my husband recently, and I'm like, okay, this is really interesting. This works. Okay, we just moved to a new house, bought a house, lot of stress, lots of change, right? I mean, and I just found myself super sensitive when he disagreed with me. Like I was taking it really personally. I was like, your energy is coarse and whatever. I was taking it super personally. Then I was reacting. And so the way I dealt with it initially was he would do something and then I would react. I'm like, okay, I've done this dance for a couple weeks and I don't see anything getting better. So one day it's like, I'm gonna try something different. And I was calm, I wasn't in the reaction mode. And I was like, can we talk? And it was a fine time for him to talk. He was totally relaxed. And I was like, hey, this is something that's going on with me. I don't know why I'm getting so sensitive. And I said, honestly, I'm sure when I disagree with you, like my energy is probably coarse also, like taking responsibility for it. But can we just talk about this? And talking about it when you're not in reaction is so good. Because he was like, when I disagree with you, like it's not a personal attack in any way. This is just how I feel about your opinion. And it's like, I knew that, but I needed to hear him say that. And then the next time it happened where I felt like sort of slung with this negative energy, I could hear him in the back of my mind saying, it's really not a personal attack. It's just how I feel about your opinion. So like what I did is I still felt the pain of it, but I just imagined moving aside and letting it go past me. So to answer your question, I think one of the first things to do is to have these conversations when nobody's triggered. And then even, to talk about the role of vulnerability. Like, I think both partners need to understand that when we're vulnerable and we're accepted by the other person, that is what creates the emotional bond. I mean, that is true of siblings, of friends, of anybody. It's like when we take a risk and we're accepted, we're like, ah, oh, you can relax with them, and then you're willing to take a little bit more of a risk. But if you take a risk and you're like rebuffed, you're like, you go back to defending yourself. So that's a real learning thing and something couples need to understand and discuss beforehand, and then kind of decide that they're going to take these risks.
Yeah, the two things that came up for me was the idea of mood. And like, if we're in a low mood or if we're in a heightened sense of defensiveness, that is not the time to address something like that. But I loved your example of how you talked about it with your husband when you were both relaxed and in a good space. And then when you were in a space where you were triggered by the coarseness of his energy when he disagreed with you, you were able to bring up those words that he said. I don't, it's not, I'm not taking it personally. It's just that I have a certain feeling about your opinion. And you were able to move past that. And I think that takes a lot of self-awareness and practice in itself, just to be mindful in a moment when you are defensive, to be able to hear those words. And I think that's really a great example of how having those conversations when we're in a good space can prepare us for the next time. We have something to fall back on. We have that, oh yeah, I remember he said this. Okay, let me, feel the pain or the hurt of it, but I can address it knowing that, it's not a personal attack on me. And then just having that in your, in your memory, or knowing that's happening in the moment, I think is so important. So really understanding how our moods affect the way that we perceive the things that are happening. And I want to go back to what you said about being aware of when you're hurt and how other people's behavior affects you, but not really being that aware of how your behavior is affecting others. And I want to go back to that. What does that conversation look like when you're talking to someone you're in a relationship with, whether it's a partner or a parent or a child or a friend? How does that conversation sound, and how do you approach that when you are curious to know how your behavior is affecting your loved ones?
I think it's like, okay, kind of take my clients through something called an emotion, relationship breakthrough process. So it's when they're sort of stuck in, they're having that same conflict over and over again. And so instead of just saying what you normally say, you go through, like, I think it's like 11 steps. But some of those steps are things like, the story I told myself when I heard that. And that's really interesting, because what you're saying is I had a way of, understanding what you said and owning it, saying the story I told myself is like giving a little room for it. Well, maybe that's not actually how you meant it, So you're giving yourself some distance. Like, this is how I felt. This is how it was perceived by me. And allowing you both to do that, and using those I statements, like, when you said that, I just felt really small. And then they see the power of their words. And then obviously it would be the other person. But if you're like, you made me feel really small when you said that, then that conversation has just ended. It has just escalated, because I'm spending all my time saying, no, why? I didn't mean to make you feel small, and then it's all about, no, I didn't mean that. And you took it the wrong way, So having that distance, this is how it felt, and taking ownership for how it felt for you, then the other person can hear you. So you have to be really careful in these conversations to not do the thing that triggers the other person and how we talk, because once we're triggered, we're no longer hearing well. Something I learned, which I thought was so interesting, it's just called amygdala hijack. Like, I never heard that expression before, but it essentially is when you're triggered, and it could be, in many ways, it could be fear or anger, maybe even anxiety. But it's when, that part of our brain that controls our emotions and our fear centers really gets the blood, and it's really coming from our thinking part of our brain. And so some of those traits are, black and white thinking. Like, we don't see nuances. So that's why it's so easy to misunderstand somebody. And some of them is like tunnel vision. I can remember once I was in the classroom and I was really angry, and I was like, what's wrong with my vision? So it was really interesting to see on that list that tunnel vision is one of them. And thinking that this moment reflects all time, which is where you're like, you always do this, but you probably don't, but it certainly feels that way. And then actually not being able to access empathy and compassion. Like, we can't, it's like this adrenaline thing that keeps calling us forward. So I think understanding about what happens when we're triggered, amygdala overdrive, in a cognitive way, I think is really important. So then you watch yourself, you watch yourself and you see, oh my God, yeah, this is exactly what happens. And you watch the other person. So you kind of realize these conversations can't go well if you're triggered. You keep pulling the other person back into the argument. So I hope I didn't lose the train of the question you asked me.
Very clear. Just being aware of how you say things, the story you're telling, owning that story, using I messages, and being aware of how our words can sometimes trigger our behavior and our words can trigger others. And so we want to be mindful of the way that we express ourselves so that we have a productive conversation where we are both hearing each other. And it's really hard to hear the other if you're, have that amygdala hijack.
And on that note too, that's one example of where people might get stuck in conversations. I know there's a lot of history in relationships that adds to the complexity of the amygdala hijack or other places, but could you maybe give an example of where a relationship was stuck and how you coached them to become maybe stronger communicators or less stuck in their relationship?
So this is one that came up recently, and it was a little bit painful because it was like being at a mirror with myself. But particular relationship, you ever like want to upgrade your spouse? Like you, right? Like you see how they could be doing better, right? And we can have really strong opinions about that. But do you know how it feels like? If you're the person who's trying to upgrade, get someone thinks you need an upgrade, right? Like those two perspectives are very, very different, how that feels. So in that case, I think it was about feeling how the other person would feel. And but then also like because she wanted that upgrade, she wanted that, or thought it might be good, it was understanding like how you can communicate that. In a way that is most palatable, and because it hits so close to home, I actually had to go to my husband and say, I know I've done this to you and it's caused a lot of pain between us. And because when I saw him in so much pain, as I said, I saw it from a different perspective. I said, how would you love me to talk to you when I'm seeing that you're just kind of like not reaching your potential, And he said, you can say, I noticed this, but if I'm not receptive to it, you got to let it go. Because in the end, I'm the only one that can make a change. I'm not going to make a change because you want me to make a change. Like, even though that sounds really good, if you loved me, you would change. I'm sure I've used that also. That's not how it feels to the person. Making a change is like a big effort. You really have to want to, and it has to come from the person. So in this case, it was almost just helping both to see a perspective other than their own and teaching her how to communicate in a much gentler way. Like, put it out there. I've noticed this. Knowing when you have to let go, not worth forcing.
Oh, that's so poignant. I just listening to that and just kind of seeing how that works and how we can sometimes be well-intentioned. We have a good intention. Like we want our spouse, we want our partner to rise to their highest potential. But even in I'm thinking about even in saying that, like I really feel like you could be performing better or being better. That in itself is a judgment. It's like, what about that moment, your partner is reaching their potential, but to you, it could be better or they could be better. So I love that. It's so poignant because it's tempting to want to mold or shape your partner because you want them to be, a certain way or feel a certain way. But what your husband said, and that also speaks to the closeness and the trust that you have with your husband, that he's able to tell you, hey, it's up to me to change. I'm not going to change because you want me to change. Very few, I mean, I don't know how many, people can say that and not feel like that's, going to really cause some issues. But that's just so poignant, that example of you moving through stuckness and how when we hold on to one perspective and how powerful it is to see it from the other side, walk in that other person's shoes. So thank you for that. That was really powerful.
Well, it's sort of honestly is a cutting edge lesson for me, you know, because I had been stuck in that. I was like, no, but you need me to say this because if it's up to you, you know, like, no, it was a wake up call for me. And I'm still learning.
It's also a testament to how we as coaches learn in our practice. But we learn from our clients, we learn from our own professional development that we do, and how those things that we learn and the things that we practice really do kind of intersect. And we're learning with our clients, and we also take that into our own relationships. So it just shows like how powerful coaching can be, not only for the clients, but also for the coach as well.
I think that's really been my favorite part is their journey to some extent becomes my journey. You know, you can say something to a like a client like, you know, he's like I might have an experience of how I work with my emotions. But then how can you say seeing them be stuck and then they figure it out and they're like, "Oh, wow, that worked." You know, it's like that whole thing like I'm learning so much from their journey. Yeah, it's a real gift being a coach. I think when I was teaching, it was a little bit more from the head because we were doing facts and that kind of stuff. And I really love the heart. Coaching is really about the heart and supporting each other. And for what it's worth, I would love to remove sort of, I think there's kind of a stigma around coaching that you go to a coach when you have a problem. So you have a problem, you have to work on yourself, you know? And I see this. I did a raffle the other day and I sort of saw so I did a rom-com trivia and I saw how many few people actually entered into the raffle, which was for a 90-minute Manifest Your Heart's Desire coaching session. And I know it's an amazing session. And it's like, how do I help people realize it's not about you have a problem, you know, you're broken or anyway. It's just like we are humans. I love this quote by Rumi. I'm probably going to mess it up, but something like, we're helping to walk each other home, something like that. And that's what we're doing for each other. We, you know, even if it's not a coaching relationship, it's a friendship. I'm in your life. We're helping each other on this journey and we need each other, you know? And this is just one way to do this. This is not about anybody being wrong, but it's just a really, in a sense, a vulnerable way and where you get to put the spotlight on your own growth. But we all need to grow because we have problems down here. And a lot of us think we solve our problems by fixing things out there, but we don't. Like the real healing is when we go inside and we see how we can change, because that's where we get power and agency to create our life, not by waiting for everybody else to change for us to be happy. So I just hope people one day it's like more accessible. Like I know for some people it is, but it's not about, you know, really, it has to be some big thing.
Yeah, I love that because one of the questions that was coming to mind that we had thought about, LaShawn, I think this was maybe one of yours about interdependence. That's where I was headed, and you like kind of jumped ahead, and I feel like you got there without me even asking what your concept is of interdependence. But you know, we in coaching often subscribe to the idea that we're not independent and we are interdependent, and that's exactly what you just spoke to. So maybe to pivot from there. Is there a space where, or maybe just share what else you would like people to hear about your work? I love this idea of coaching's not just for people who are feeling like they have a problem. Coaching is for everyone. And it does give us the agency because we aren't focused on the other. I mean, obviously, we're interdependent and focused on how we can exist and support one another, but we're focused deep down on our own healing as well. So maybe what else would you like to share about your relationship coaching?
There's a concept called, or not, well, I'll just call it concept, attachment theory. I had never heard that word before I started this journey. But it's really interesting, and it's the idea when people are in a safe relationship, like not just physically safe, but emotionally safe. You know that other person is there for you. You know that person is there for us, like you relax. there's less anxiety in our life. It's not that we don't have challenges, but we also are interestingly more independent, a little bit more courageous, a little braver in our life when we have a really solid relationship. So it's really interesting when we have that sort of interdependence, like you spoke about, we can actually be more independent, you know? So I just wanted to share that. And the other thing I guess I want to share is sort of this new journey, this new work I'm doing is with individuals that are single. And when you want to, you're ready for a relationship. You know, I said like this term call-in partnership, but maybe we have frustration and confusion around relationships. So I'm starting this course. It's at Butterscotch Studios, which is in Longmont, and it's a four-part course. It's starting tonight, but you can join at any time. And it's a real focus on what's the inner and the outer work we can do to put ourselves in the best possible position to manifest a really good relationship in our life. And I think that work is twofold. It's both relationship skills, you know, but it's also our relationship with ourselves. Because I definitely feel like when we like ourselves, it's much easier to find someone who also likes us, you know? So I'm starting that, and it's a journey that I hope continues beyond these four sessions because I really see a need for it. And I want to normalize that it's absolutely cool to be with other people that want to grow, and there's nothing scary about that, and to want to do that work in the company of others. So that's what I'm up to.
That's great. Thank you so much, Helene. So we are nearing that time of the episode where we do coaching nuggets of wisdom. And coaching nuggets of wisdom are just kind of summarizing or maybe picking out something that's really stuck out for us. And we impart that to our listeners towards the end. It can be a call to action, or it could be an invitation, or just a reiteration of something that really resonated with us in the episode. So usually when we have a guest on our episode, either Erin or I go, and then we would then have you end with your coaching nugget of wisdom, and then we end the episode. So, Erin, I don't know if you feel called to go or I can go, whatever works for you.
Yeah, so I like this idea of coaching being a modality for when you feel like you need support and when you don't feel like you need support, and tying that into how complex relationships are. So I guess my coaching nugget of wisdom would be, even if you are feeling like you are in a strong relationship, like for instance, LaShawn and me, we are in a strong relationship. How do we move that forward even further? And maybe we can do that through the work of a coach, because the coaching modality is so helpful in healing when it comes to those conversations. So if you're out there listening, and I think one easy way into relationship coaching is to start with the relationship you think is going well and then work toward other relationships. That would be my coaching nugget of wisdom.
I love that, Erin. One thing that really stuck out for me in this conversation was the idea of perspectives and what that does to our relationships and what that does to how we feel about our relationships, the perspectives that we're taking. So I would invite our listeners to just take a moment and think about a relationship that, as and I'm taking from Erin, that's really strong, that you really feel safe and you can be yourself in, and see what perspectives are you taking in that relationship? What makes that relationship particularly safe for you?
That's great. So I'm supposed to go now? All right.
Yeah.
So what I was thinking, one of the things that's great about being coach, because as a coach, I've been on both sides, is really being seen. And you are that in a coaching relationship. And it's a great experience. And also to be called forward to be your best self. And then I think, interestingly, if you do some even one-on-one coaching, I do that as well. It almost could be practice for a romantic relationship because you get to experience what it's like to be really seen, heard, understood, empathized, and it kind of upgrades what you can expect from others in a sense and what you should expect from a partner.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Helene Reiner. She is a relationship coach. And Helene, why don't you tell us again about the course that you have here in Longmont and also where our listeners can find you?
Okay, so it's at Butterscotch Studio. It's going to be every other Monday night. It's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And you can find out about the course by going to my website, which is workwithhelene.live. And I'll spell Helene. So that's Helaine. And you can find that under my programs. And again, you can miss the first episode, I mean the first session, and sign up for the additional ones. Thank
Wonderful.
you.
Thank you, Helene. And we will have all this information in the episode description as well. So you can click on the links in those descriptions. Thank you so much, Helene. It's been wonderful talking to you about relationships, interdependence, perspectives, amygdala hijacking, and so much more. I feel really enlightened about relationships and encouraged. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Meychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.